we're going to be in today? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. We're getting near the end of that book, aren't we? Listen, we hadn't covered anywhere near one portion of it. It's that we have been on a very small dose of Revelation as we have gone through the activities and the events of our world leading to the end times. We are now in what we call the age of grace. Thank you, God. Amen. For the age of grace. It's called also called the church age. In other words, it's the time that you and I are supposed to be sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people might come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why it's called the age of the church, the age of grace. The next big event, folks, we know what's going to happen. It's going to be the rapture, amen? And then the tribulation will finish out. The judgment seat of Christ will come. We've talked about these things. After that time will come the second coming, and Satan is going to be bound, and all God's people said, amen. We'll spend 1,000 years on this earth called the millennial kingdom. From David's throne here, Christ Jesus will reign. And then at the end of that time, Satan is going to be loosed. There's going to be a final war and his final defeat. And then after that, folks, will come what we know of as the Great White Throne Judgment. After that Great White Throne Judgment, for everybody who is there, because it'll be the judgment of the dead, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And folks, that's when something new is going to be created. Our Lord, our God, is going to create the new heavens and the new earth. And we're going to spend eternity there. But right there on the front porch of eternity, God is going to create that something new. I am looking forward to that. Amen. The new heavens and the new earth. You know, we know that this in this world, that trouble is the norm. It's not the exception. Amen. We know that we have difficulties, heartaches. Has anybody here gone through an entire month without a problem? A week? I hate to get down to the moment. But isn't it true? We go through a heartache. We go through problems. We go through difficulties every day of our life. That's one reason that I'm preaching this end time series, because I want you to be prepared for the times that are to come. But I also want you to be prepared to know that even though you're going through a hardship or a difficulty now, the good day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And we are going to see Him, and folks, we are going to be with Him forever and forever and forever. I like to read. I read a lot of books, maybe a few more than I should, but I like to read a lot of books. And I enjoy reading them, and there are times that if it's a book I've never read before, that the main character gets in trouble. And I think, oh man, how's he going to get out of that? And I just kind of, I don't know, have you ever done that? You know, where you're sitting there and you're on about chapter 12 or 13, somewhere in there, and you go, I wonder what's getting there. Am I the only one that does that? Maybe. As our life book, remember we talked about the books, as our life book unfolds, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of trouble here. And oftentimes, as that old song used to say, we wonder why it should be such all the day long. Well, this week, today, and next Sunday, and the following week, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to look at the last chapter. The very last word that says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And He is going to make it better than anything we've ever experienced in our lives. And no matter how in the world your life seems to change, no matter how many difficulties you seem to go through, no matter how much hardship you're going through right now, God tells us that our last and our eternal days are going to be spent in heaven with God our Father, with our Savior Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit filling us with worship and praise for all the end of days. Man. Sure enjoyed those songs we sang this morning. Amen. The Lord God is going to pull us together. and we're going to reign with him on high. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Let's look at what's going to happen there. We've gone through chapter 19, we've gone through chapter 20, and now we pick up here in chapter 21. And what does John see that God is bringing about? The scriptures in Revelation 21 verses 1 through 5 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Time out. The first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. Now, that's just a very easy word for saying what? It died. It's gone. It's going to be destroyed. Then it says, "Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for all the former things have passed away.' And then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Aren't you glad that God said, "Write," that we might have a record of what John saw? Because I'm going to tell you, John must have been just a bit overwhelmed. Amen. As he stood there and the Lord began to reveal and began to talk to him, he stood there, "Wow, wow." And God said, "Hey, write this down." Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Father, would you bless the reading of your word? Would you bless our hearts to receive it and bless our feet to be obedient to share it? In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? You know, there's a great way to witness. It's a new way. Maybe some people have heard it all, and maybe you've thought you've heard it all. But I'm going to ask you, you know, have you ever had a chance to sit down next to somebody on an airplane or a bus or a ski lift or whatever it is, and you know you're going to be there for a few minutes? Why don't you just ask them this question? Just ask them, say, "Hey, yeah, are you ready for the rapture?" Someone's going to go, "A dinosaur? No, that's a raptor. Are you ready for the rapture?" Some of them are going to say, "What's that?" Folks, if you've never had an opportunity to witness, there's one. Because some of them don't know what the rapture is, but I'm going to tell you, we need to be sharing with them. And as you do, you're going to get all kinds of answers. You're going to get what's the procrastinator will tell you. And the procrastinator is going to say, "Oh, I've heard about that, but I've got time." And then you're going to get the unbeliever's answer. "Oh, I don't believe in all that. I'm an agnostic, or I'm a this, or I'm a that." And then you're going to get the scoffer's answer. And we're going to read about that today because it sets up where we're going today. The scoffer's answer is, "You know, I've heard about that all my life, but where is he? He must not be coming. Where is he?" God's word tells us that. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and following. It says, "Scoffers are going to come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation.'" In other words, nothing's ever happened. It's not going to happen. But God's word says, "For this they will willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." What are we talking about? Talking about Noah and the flood that destroyed all but eight. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire." Wow. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of the judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. That's why we call it the age of grace. God is giving us time. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen to this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. They're going to melt with what? Fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, listen, oh, I love this nevertheless. Don't you love those transitions of God? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness walks. And all God's people said, amen. Man, that's a pretty good sermon. I could end there, amen. But I'm not. Listen, there are two destructions of this earth that are talked about in the Bible. The first one that we read about and that we know about, it was the destruction by water, the days of Noah. You go back to Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8. Only 8 righteous people were spared. And in one of the best known promises ever given to mankind and ever remembered, we were given a sign that God would never again destroy the earth by water. And he gave us what? The rainbow. However, folks, another destruction is foretold in the Bible, and we just read about it in one of the scriptures, one of many. The future destruction is not going to be by water. God said he'd never destroy the earth by water again, but the future destruction is going to be by fire. He's going to burn this earth up. Now, when is this going to happen? It's going to happen at the close of the millennial kingdom. Because you see, the millennial kingdom is going to be on this earth, and he's going to repair the earth. You remember? He's going to repair it and make it more like it was in the Garden of Eden. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. But the scripture tells us that after this, after the millennial kingdom, is going to come Satan's last rebellion. In verse 21 of chapter 21 of Revelation, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then it said, also there was no more sea. We're going to come to that. Then the scripture tells us that after these things, after he destroys the old heaven and the old earth, that he's going to restore everything as it ought to be forever and ever. Listen to Isaiah chapter 65. This is a comfort. Listen. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard, nor the voice of crying. And all God's people said, yes. So the Bible tells us about the destruction of the old earth. But it also tells us about the destruction of the old heaven. Now, whenever we read about heaven in the Bible, we need to keep in mind that there are 3 different heavens that the Bible speaks about. Now, you're going, what? 3 heavens? Listen, we're talking about 3 different types of places. We're going to talk about that right now. First and foremost is what we call the atmospheric heaven, which is around the earth. Amen? That's what holds our oxygen. That's what helps our gravity. That's what holds, you know, that kind of holds every space at bay. And then there is the stellar heavens, and that's what's above the earth's atmosphere, and it contains the galaxies that we view in the stellar heavens. The gorgeous stars and the moons God has created. And then there is a third heaven that the Bible talks about. And it's not about time and space. It's about God. And that third heaven is called the third heaven. It's also known as the throne of God. Now, I don't know if we can say which way it is, but we've always said it's up because we've always thought of the heavens as being up. I wonder which way the folks in China point. So it's not about the atmospheric heaven, and it's not about the stellar heaven, but when you talk about the throne of God, you're talking about the third heaven. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, and in Revelation chapter 4 through 5, it talks about the third heaven. It just mentions it there, and it says, "And I was taken up to the third heaven," in other words, to the throne room of God. So what is it then exactly, if there's three different heavens, what is it that's going to be destroyed? Verse 21 of chapter 21 says that there's a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the first earth have what? Passed away. They're gone. It doesn't indicate, as we read Revelation or any other passage about the passing away of the heavens, the old heaven, that it's talking about God's throne room, amen? And it doesn't even seem to be mentioning the stellar heavens. But what it's talking about when it talks about the heavens passing away, we know he's talking about the atmospheric heaven. Now, he's not talking about the next heaven, the stellar heaven, even though with all the junk we seem to be putting up there, he might need to. But he's talking about this atmospheric heaven that surrounds the earth. God will most assuredly, because his word tells us, destroy the atmospheric heaven. Now, if you were here last year when we did the angel series, anybody remember the angel series? We talked about where the angels of the devil, the fallen angels, dwelt. Where do you remember it says that they dwelt? In the heavenly places. The atmospheric heaven is filled with evil. Why? Because Satan and his angels live there. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 indicates that Satan and his emissaries are even now performing spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. You probably can quote this one. "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness," where? In the heavenly places. That's where Satan and his angels spend their time around the earth trying to get to God's people and hurt them. Well, after the rebellion of Satan, Scripture says there, after that millennium time, after the rebellion, God will destroy this earth. And he's going to destroy the atmospheric heaven along with it because it is so marred by Satan and his evil. All the bad stuff, all the sinful stuff, all the evil things, and even its dwelling place is going to be wiped out and destroyed as though it's never been there, God's word says. And then, after he does that, he's going to do away with this planet as we know it. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And folks, when he creates that new heaven and new earth, here's our good news. That place is for me. Anybody else want to go? That place is for me. Any believer in Christ Jesus that has given their heart and life to the Lord, that place is for them because Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Folks, I'm going to be with my Jesus. God's word says that he's gone to prepare that place for us, the new heavens and the new earth. And folks, it's going to be better than anything we have ever known. It's even going to be better than any place we've known about. It's going to be better than the Garden of Eden. Because the Garden of Eden still had man there. Folks, there are going to be a lot of changes to what God's going to make, to what we know. And a lot of things are going to be removed that's going to make it great. You know, sometimes it's not what you can give somebody, but what you can take away. You want to ask Miss Joey about that, huh? Amen. There's going to be a lot of things removed. First of all, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says Satan is going to be removed. And all God's people said, yeah. Scripture says in chapter 21, verse 1, no longer any seas. That means no more separation. You know, our earth is covered 2/3 by water. And then about a half of what's not covered by water is uninhabitable. Everything about what God is going to create is going to be absolutely wonderful and inhabitable. There's not going to be any more night. We don't have to rest anymore. There's not going to be any more curse on the world or on people. Nothing unclean, nothing practicing abomination, nothing lying, nothing that operates in darkness. In other words, no more sin. No more sun. We won't need the sun. We're going to have the face of Jesus. Amen. He is our light. And then we're going to see God face to face, His Word says in chapter 22. And we won't need a temple because the Lord Himself is going to be our temple. And we're going to abide in Him. In addition, we're told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, He says that the tabernacle of God is with men. Now what in the world does that mean? It says the tabernacle of God is with men and He will dwell among them. God's dwelling place is no longer going to be the third heaven. God's dwelling place is going to be among the men that He created. He's going to be there with us, walking and talking, loving and caring, touching and seeing as we've never been able to do. He is going to move into earth, the new earth, and His headquarters still, folks, is going to be the new Jerusalem, God's Word says. I guess that's one reason I love to go see Jerusalem today. But I'm sure looking forward to the new one. Amen. Friends, we have absolutely no comprehension of how wonderful and how glorious that will be. None whatsoever. And then chapter 21, verse 4, God adds something else. If you've got your Bible and you're looking at it, look what it says in verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for all those former things will have passed away. Now, what's the meaning of this? In other words, our normal reaction to problems and hurt and pain and sorrow is going to be eliminated. And you're going, well, how can that be? How can you eliminate the reaction to those things? By getting rid of those things. No sorrow, no pain, no sickness. Folks, you may remember that a few weeks ago we talked about the millennium, and I talked about folks that were going to live up to 1,000 years. You know, those folks that made it through the tribulation. Some of them hadn't got their glorified body yet, and we talked about them being healed. Well, listen, we're talking about everybody here is going to get their new body. Because when the new heaven and the new earth comes down, it's going to be filled with people who have been fully restored. No more sickness, no more pain, no more problems. Folks, there will no longer be any death. None at all. So the great fear is gone. The great specter of death, the natural result of sin, is going to be defeated. We win!
I just wish y'all could get as excited as I get sometimes.
No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more sickness. Even our past sorrows will be remembered no more. Isaiah 65 that we read just a few minutes ago, verse 17 says, and the former shall not be remembered or even come to mind. Folks, you will not have to worry about remembering all the hurts here. That's why it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Then in verse 5, God says, behold, I make all things new. This is almost a certain indication, is it not, that God's going to create for us a place that is yet beyond our comprehension here? We're not going to be able to get it all. He is planning a total new place, a total new life, and a total new way of life for His people. It is going to be so awesome, we can't even begin to understand it. But He gives us little glimpses through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. And we are going to inhabit what's called the New Jerusalem. The dazzling glory of the New Jerusalem is now beyond our understanding. It's beyond our grasp, but it is pictured in Revelation. It's given to us in pictures of things that we might be able to understand a little bit. And when we get there, we're going to look at it and we're going to go, wow, wow, wow. And we're going to find John, the Revelator. And we're going to say, John, what's wrong with you? He's going to say, what? He said, why didn't you tell us it was so wonderful? He goes, I tried. He said, words just couldn't describe it. We'll have to go, you know, you're right. Listen, folks, it is going to be such an awesome and wonderful and glorious place. There is no way that words could begin to describe it all. He just had to give us little glimpses, little shots. When this city comes to earth, it's going to be filled with God's people, all with resurrected new bodies, prepared to dwell with Christ forever and forever and forever. And that, dear friend, is when there will be no more sorrow, no pain, no hurt, no sickness, etc. The millennial kingdom didn't just kind of gave us the front porch. In heaven, there won't be any illness, there won't be any sickness, there won't be any death. It is going to be fantastically beautiful, built with some of the things that we look at it. Go back and look at the descriptions there as John tried, and he tried to tell us, oh, it was like these most beautiful, precious stones are lined the street, and gold is on the street. Things we think are important are going to be walked on. Gigantic pearls. Oh, I want to go into that so bad, but that's next week. What does that pearl represent in the streets of gold? We choose our materials for their strength and for their low cost, but in the holy city, we're going to be walking on precious stones and metals, things we would make jewelry out of. We're going to be walking on them because that's not going to be our focus. You know, the scripture also says in verse 22 of chapter 21, it says, there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem. No temple. Now, where do we go to worship God? In the temple, in the church. Where did the people of old go? They went to the tabernacle. They went to the temple. There's not going to be a temple in the New Jerusalem. Why don't you need a temple in the New Jerusalem? Because the Lord God and the Lamb are there. You don't have to go there to meet them. They're going to be there. From the beginning of creation, from the very beginning, God chose to fellowship with us. I don't get it. But God in His love and God in His care and God in His wisdom, let us fellowship with Him. He walked in the garden. Do you remember? He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve until they hid themselves because of sin. And then after the fall, He let them use altars to come to Him. Do you remember? They used the altar and they would use it as a place of sacrifice and a place that they could approach God, because in that sacrifice, in their sharing, in their prayer, as they're asking for forgiveness and as the aroma went up and as the sacrifice was given as God intended and as He instructed, they were instantly cleaned from sin and they had that brief moment of total contact with God. Let me ask you, have you ever gotten so right with God? Have you ever gotten so excited about God you could just bust? Anybody? Nope. Thank you. You know, we all get there. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just live in that? Folks, we will. We're going to live in that, where you have that such a closeness with God, such a feeling of perfection and cleansing and love and care. In the days of Moses, then after the altars, God created the tabernacle. You remember that? And he dwelt in the midst of the people inside the tabernacle in what they called, do you remember? The Holy of Holies. And God would there, and the Shekinah, you remember we talked about that too not long ago, the Shekinah glory of God would emanate from that place. In the reign of Solomon, it was transferred, do you remember? From the tabernacle to the temple. David didn't get to build the temple, Solomon did. But because of Israel's apostasy, God even left the temple. And then, to our salvation, Christ Jesus came to tabernacle with us. Thank you, God. Wow. To become the complete and the final Lamb, the Lamb of sacrifice. For your sin and for mine. And when he departed, he didn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us, to empower us, to guide us, to indwell us. And in the New Jerusalem, folks, there's not going to be a need for a temple. There's not going to be a temple. There's not going to be a tabernacle. There's not going to be an altar. Because, dear folks, that will be the full dwelling place for God, because God is going to be there with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and the entire new heaven and the entire new earth are going to be one huge, grand, glorious place of worship, because God is going to inhabit it all. I know that there are a lot of views on the end times. We even have some different views here, and it's okay. As long as they're biblical, hang in there. We all interpret things a little differently sometimes. But I know this. Although there are many different views of the end times, most of them have to do with the tribulation or the millennium. Do you know why? Because it's not spelled out exactly in just verse by verse, letter by letter. It's not exactly spelled out there. And yeah, I've got my own views. But you know what? This I do know. The Scripture does not leave anything to the imagination except what it's going to look like. He told us, I will come again. He told us, I have prepared a place for you. He told us, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be sinless. It's not going to have Satan. It's not going to have trouble. It's not going to have trials. It's not going to have sorrow. It's not going to have pain. It's not going to have illness. It's not going to have anything except the glories for God. And folks, that I am looking forward to. You need to look forward to that. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to snatch us away from this old world, pre-trib or mid-trib, I'm going to be there. Won't you come with me? God loves you with an everlasting love. And the Scripture that we read this day says that He would, that not even one would perish. But dear friend, He said, you must come to His Son. You've got to come to the preparation that God Himself made, and that is His Son, because His Son said, no one comes to the Father except through Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful. We are so blessed to be your people. But God, if there's even one here within the sound of my voice that has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, let them come today. Let them call on you today. Let them ask for your forgiveness today. Let them believe on the Son, Jesus Christ, today. Oh God, we know that you're coming. We know that you've prepared a glorious place for us, and we want all that can, all that would, to be there. And we look forward to it. Oh, we bless your name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, could I ask you this? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture? If Jesus were to come today, there will be no more preparations. You've got to be ready. Have you invited Him to be your Lord and Savior? Have you asked forgiveness of your sin? Do you believe in Him as God's Son, that He lived on this earth a perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose to prepare a place for you? And dear friend, He is coming back.